called Choose This, Not That. And for the last few weeks, I've been sharing these words because we are the sum total of the decisions that we make. The decisions that you and I make, we are living those out now. And I know sometimes it's hard to hear that, but I just want you to pause and I want you to reflect on it a little bit. I want you to just take some inventory of where your life is. We make our decisions, and then our decisions make who we are. I love this quote by Mary Kay Ash. She said, "Be careful of the choices you make today. They will become your lifestyle tomorrow." This is so sobering to think about that because, you know, I've been in times in my life and I've heard people say that to me and I resented it. I said, that's not true. This happened to me, that happened to me. But you and I always have the opportunity when whatever comes our way to make a choice of how we're going to apply it to the rest of our lives. And it's so easy to be offended, to be hurt, to be disappointed, to really have something happen to us and for us to hold that in our lives. And almost sometimes it becomes who we are. It defines who our lives are. And then this scripture that, you know, this is one of the scriptures that came to me, but I felt the Lord not to use it until today. And it's in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 23. And I want to read it to a couple different translations. I just love different translations. And if you have the YouVersion app on your device or whatever, you can look at a myriad of different translations. And this Berean Study Bible translation says it this way: everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything edifies. And then the Contemporary English Version says it this way. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians that were demanding, hey, it's okay if I want to do this or I want to act this way. We could go into that. We could talk about our own lives and the decisions that we make. And we think, you know, I'm okay to do this. It's like God gives us these parameters and you can do this, but don't do that. But the Corinthians were saying, hey, we're free. Jesus has come and given us an opportunity and give us life and that more abundantly. And the grace of God has allowed me to be free to do anything. And the truth is, you can do a lot. This is what it says in the Contemporary English Version. Some of you say, you can do whatever we want to. We can do whatever we want to. But I tell you, not everything may be good or helpful for you. And that is so true. I can do whatever I want. I use the analogy just to lighten it up a little this morning. I would love a huge chocolate-covered, chocolate-cream-filled donut every morning. And Jimmy, he gets one every morning. No, I'm just joking with you. No, I'm just kidding. I would like that. But that wouldn't be good for me. That's a funny little, you know, there's things that I want, my flesh, I demand. And then we live long enough and we serve the Lord long enough. And all of a sudden, you know, some of us, we get a little older and we think, well, I can do this and I can go here and I can act like this and I can do anything I want. But Paul says it's not good for you in the end. It may be okay for you to do it. It may be okay for you to eat that every day. But let me tell you something, it's going to catch up to you. It may be okay for you to drink whatever you want to. It's going to catch up to you. So it may be okay for you to smoke. It could be okay for the federal government to legalize marijuana everywhere. And I know that's a big push. I got Christians that are telling me, you can't find in the Bible where it says, I can't smoke pot or do drugs. You guess what? You are right. But I'm going to tell you this. Paul said, you can do it, but it's not going to be good for you. Amen, preacher. And this isn't being legalistic. This isn't that. I'm just trying to help us to choose in our lives to make the right choices that will give us a great benefit in the future. Sometimes the choice that is the greatest for you isn't necessarily the easiest choice at the moment to make either. You know, and I could go so many different ways in this, but you have to make a choice as to how you are going to allow life to affect you. You can be offended and you can hold on to that. You can choose. And listen, you got the right to. So-and-so hurt you. This one said something about you. Your parents abused you. A friend abused you. A workplace abused you. Somebody walked out on you. You went through a brutal divorce and you're done. I don't want nothing, no more. And you can choose that, but the end thereof is not healthy for you and I. And I love, there's an incredible, you know, people always say things like, well, time will heal. Time does not heal anything. Jesus is our healer. Time may dilute it and give you an ability to kind of allow the blow of it to soften up a little bit, but unless you allow God to have his way in your life, the time will not heal it. And in some cases, it just goes deeper. And some people get harder and harder and harder. And I want to talk to some Christians just for a couple moments here, that you get older, you know more about the scripture, and it's like you can maneuver your decisions around what you want. Can I tell you? You're fooling yourself. You can't maneuver that around. The truth is the truth. Jesus, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. If it was unhealthy then, it's unhealthy now. And just because you're good at dealing with, you know, putting on the facade and the mask, we can slap it on so good and make us look so good. And God wants you and I to be authentic and real and let him have his way in our lives. And this story in Genesis chapter 11, this is an incredible chapter in the Bible. If you begin to read it, you read the first part of the chapter is about the Tower of Babel, where they were building this tower. The people were together and they said, we're going to build a tower to heaven. And God even looked at him and he said, nothing is going to be impossible for them because they're all in one accord. He says, I got to go down and confuse their language. He did that and he stopped that. Then the rest of that chapter goes, the next section, it goes into the genealogy of Shem. It's so incredible to read this, where you read these men, they're having children at 30 and 70 years old. Come on, somebody. My wife's upstairs, so she can't hear that. And then they're living to be 400 years old. I was reading that last night. I was saying, I'm not only going to see my grandkids play football, I'm going to see my great-grandkids, my great-great-grandkids, my great-great-great-great-great. That would be just cool. And then it comes down to this little pause at the end of the chapter, in just chapter 11, about a man by the name of Terah, who is Abraham's father, and something that he experienced. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 11, 27 and 28, this is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. Verse 28, and while his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. I'll tell you, that's a tragic moment. Haran was the youngest, but yet in the Bible says he was old enough to have children. He gave birth to Lot. And Lot and Haran's father, Terah, had to bury Haran, a son and a father. This is a difficult moment in that family's life. I've been in my own family. I've seen my parents bury a brother, and they while I was a baby, a sister. And I know the unthinkable past that can bring. We don't know whether it was an accident or a disease, but the Bible says in Genesis 11:31 that Terah took his son Abram, his grandson, Haran's son, Lot, and his daughter-in-law, that's Abram's wife, Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Now, the Ur of the Chaldeans was in the like the north or the southwest corner of Iraq, and Canaan was about 12 or 1300 miles away to Israel. And God was saying, I want to take you to your promise. I want you to move there. But so Terah announces the family, we're going, we're heading out. And the Bible says they traveled for months, and they came about halfway, about 600 miles, to a city that is called the same name of his son. Named after his son, don't quite know the history of that, but they came to a place called Haran, the same name as the son who had died. And the Bible says they stopped. And the Bible doesn't say they just stopped, but the Bible says they settled there. And they never went to the place that God called them to and the place where they first desired to go. The Bible says in verse 32 that Terah lived there 205 years, which seems to be a long time, but it's half the age of everyone else that was living at that time. He lived there 205 years, and he died in Haran. And God had led him to go and start a nation. God had led him to go and fulfill the destiny and the calling that was on his life. But because of the pain, because of the reminder of what he had went through, he stopped dead in his tracks, and he allowed the tragedy of his life to define who he was to become. And I read where one person said, to get to the land of hope, you have to go through the land of hurt. I don't like that. I don't like that. Because sometimes we live there. Oh, we may move geographically, but in our lives, we stay there because we are connected to an incident, a failure, a breakup, a loss that we don't seem to ever let go out of our lives. And because of that, it stops us from what God wants to do in and out. We didn't choose the tragedy, but we made the choice to stay there. I heard Brad Trzynski last Thursday night talked about, he was very vulnerable and talked about the struggles that he goes through every morning, maybe not every morning, but several mornings where he's reminded of his upbringing and when, you know, he gets up in the morning and all his kids, they get up and they want this, and his mind goes to what he went through, but he has to disengage to go to where God is calling him to go. And we have to do that. I was going through my mother's, and I said this a few weeks ago, her hope chest is we're in this process of moving. And I've only been through it maybe 3-4 times in my life, and it brings me to my knees. And it wipes me out for 2-3 days. I'm weeping. I mean, I would go through a moment in my life, almost a moment of depression where it just takes everything out of me. But I had to go through it. I told Patty, I said, I'm going to buy a big tote. I'm going to go through it. The thing's falling apart. I've carried it with me wherever I go. It stayed in the back of my pickup truck for 2 years. It's the only thing that I left home with when I was a child, is the hope chest. In the hope chest was the flag that was over my brother's casket. It was letters. It was notes. It was things from my sister, things from my grandparents that I didn't even know. And I begin to go through that here a few weeks ago, and I prepared myself. I'm telling you, I'm bracing myself because I'm thinking, what's going to happen to me? And I came to a place where as I'm going through it, that it's not having the effect on me that it used to. And I thought for a moment, God, thank you that I've moved from Haran to the place where you want me to go. I've moved away from that, and I can't tell you that it was my strength or my ability or I conquered anything. It was my desire to move to the destiny that God is calling me to. Maybe it's been your parents. Maybe it's been someone in leadership that harmed you, that hurt you. We begin the faith journey with this hope and excitement and passion, but all of a sudden we get hurt and we become stagnant. We become bitter. We become disillusioned with people, and we get stuck in a spot like Terah did, and we don't move to where God wants us to go. And This is the hard part. We make the choice sometimes to stay torqued off. I wanted to say another word, but I don't want to get in trouble. And we settle. And we have these dreams and these visions and these hopes and we desires and the goals of our life and all these things that we want. And we find ourselves stuck in this rut in our journey. And we don't know how to get out of it because we've been hurt. And we didn't choose to be hurt. But this is the difficulty. You can't choose to unhurt yourself, but you can choose to go to the God who can heal you of the hurt. And whenever we live with emotional, relational wounds, it keeps us from our potential. It keeps us wounded, and the pain causes us to become irrational. When someone is wounded and when we hold on to that self, it causes us to make crazy decisions. Come on. Well, we can act out of character. We can talk different. We use language like, you know, I just don't care anymore, or what's the use? And we just want to throw everything away because of that moment. And we stay stuck in Haran when God says, I got a destiny for you. Psalm 73:21 says, my heart was grieved and my spirit was embittered. I became senseless and ignorant. And have you ever been there? You just get to a place where you're fed up. And the enemy loves that because it's not just you he wants. He wants your seed. He wants your destiny. If you stop, he stops the whole train of your lineage of moving forward. This is so important. And the devil always sees the bigger purpose in your life. I'm looking at champions. I'm looking at overcomers. I'm looking at people that have an incredible destiny on their lives. And the last thing that your adversary wants for you to do is to move forward. He wants to stop you. Remember, you can't just act and do what you want to do when you want to do it. Remember the scripture that I started with, 1 Corinthians 10:23. You can do what you want, but it's not going to be healthy for you. You can act any way you want, but it's not going to be good for you. You can argue, you know, scripture all day long. Well, the Bible doesn't say that I can't smoke pot and I can't use drugs and I can't go party. It doesn't say that. Yeah, but if you do those things, it's not going to be good for you. It won't. This isn't a legalistic message. I'm just trying to help you to choose. You got choices. And then when you stay that way, it pollutes your other relationships. When we've been wounded, we have a tendency to hurt others, or we just build these walls and we won't let anybody in. And I've met some wall builders. Hebrews 12:15 says, see that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, because it'll defile many, not just you. You jack everybody up. Jack your family up. Make you defensive, cause you to have a negative influence on others, makes you distant, makes you demanding, insecure. Hurt people want control. And act like they got it all together when just not that way. And then it destroys our relationship with God, because, listen, the relationship with people are inseparable from your relationship with God. When the disciples said, what's the greatest? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. He said the second greatest is like the first. Love others like you love you. You got to get along with people. You got to forgive others. I got to get the farm out of me for a minute. I was talking farming on the way in this morning. You got a beef with somebody? Deal with it. Deal with it. Amen. 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen, he can't love God who he has not seen. This is God's word. And you can maneuver, and I've talked to mature Christians, and oh yeah, well, God and me got this. But you ain't got nothing going on with him. You got to love God and love others, period. Mark 11:25, when you're praying, first forgive. I read that today, and I thought, right there, that's why people struggle praying. Because the moment you get on your knees, God brings that individual, that situation to you, and we don't, our nature doesn't like it, so we avoid prayer. And when the preacher calls a prayer meeting, it's the smallest group of people of the month. Because we don't want to forgive others. And he's telling you and I, we got to work it out with others. Even in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts as we are forgiving our debtors. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And the good news is that God specializes in healing broken hearts and hurts. Psalm 147:3 heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. And these may be hard, but this is real. You got to, number one, you're going to get through it. You got to choose to be open. You got to let somebody in that can help you. Listen to this, all you wall builders. You got to open up the wall. You got to let someone in. Just saying to somebody, hey, will you pray for me? You haven't got to get into counseling. You come down to the front here when these people are up here to pray. It is not a counseling session. It is a time where all they're going to do is put their hand on your shoulder and pray with you. And it is the beginning of opening up your heart and bringing life into you. It's the beginning of God restoring you. The psalmist said in Psalm 32:3, when I keep silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Because you're not built to handle it yourself. What a, we're better what? I said, we're better what? Psalm 39:2 says, but when I was silent and still not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. And you can bottle it all up, but you will be churning inside. You'll get gray hair faster. In fact, you're just going to go, it's not going to be good. You got to choose to release others. Because the longer you hold on to what somebody else did to you, the more it makes you look like what you despise. It has no place in the heart of someone who wants health and healing to be in their life. Matthew 18:21, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, this is everybody's favorite verse. How many times am I supposed to forgive? Seven times? Because the rabbis were teaching, if you forgive somebody three times, that's it. But Jesus counterculturally comes in, not seven, try 70 times seven. In fact, you're going to get trampled on and hurt and abused so much, you better get used to just making a habit in your life of forgiving people immediately and not holding it against them. 1 Peter 2:23, when they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And then last, choose to refocus your life on God's plan for your life. Don't let some incident stop you from your destiny. I know I'm talking to a broad group of people today. People that have experienced things, that have gone through things, that have had things happen to them. And I know some of you are sitting here right now. You're just thinking, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've experienced. You don't know what I've had to walk through. What somebody did to me, what they said, how they treated me, what, you know, in the direction I was going. And then everything just stopped and this happened to me. You gotta stop and make a choice to refocus your life on the plan that God started for you. What is the dream that he had put in your heart? What came to your heart at one moment in your life when you were praying, when you were at the altar, when somebody was praying for you? What was the hope that he had put in you that you wanted to accomplish and that you haven't seen and you just gave up because something happened to you? Can I tell you today that he is closer right now than he has ever been to you, that he wants to restore you? He wants to give you that hope back, that dream back. He wants to give you future back. He is for you. He's going to do great things in and with you. You've got to release that. You've got to choose to refocus your life back on the plan of God and watch him bring it all together for you, for his glory and for his honor, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me just give you this last scripture. I'm going to read this from Job 11:13. Debbie, if you'd come, put your heart right. Reach out to God, then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Can I just ask you today, where's your heart with God today? Where is your heart with God today? Are you one of those that I talked about that you just perfected in holding on to offenses and hurts and you've made choices? You're going to stay in that vein. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ. You're wondering why things just never work out the way you'd hoped them to. Can I tell you today? He's got a great plan for you. Young, old, middle-aged. Doesn't matter where you've come from. He cares for you. He loves you so much. I want the prayer people to come right down to the altar right now. I'm going to pray and I'm going to close. And if you need prayer, if you want to give your life to Christ, I want you to come down and tell them in just a moment. I'm going to pray and close. And then if anything that was spoken today spoke to your heart, let God have his way in you. Make the choice today. Make the choice today to allow him to have complete and total control in your life. Just close your eyes and bow your head with me. Spirit of the living God, you're beautiful. You're wonderful, God. We worship and adore you, Lord, this morning. Lord, for some, you've given us chance after chance after chance, and we've just gotten up and walked away. And you keep on reaching out to us. You keep on sending your love to us. God, have your way right now in every life here. Begin in me today, God. See deep inside of me, Lord. Take those things out of me, I pray. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. If you need prayer, come down. You want to give your heart to Christ, come down. Tell one of these folks here. They'll pray with you. We'll give you a Bible, help you. Don't carry it any longer. Make the choice today. Choose this, not that. I love you. Go in his grace today. You can get your picture. Take it out in the front there with the backdrop. Stop up and help yourself to some goodies at the table. Love one another. On the way out, God bless you.